All right, so as mentioned, I'm going to move the agenda around just a little bit. We're going to jump to item 37 so that we have some information from our consultants before they are no longer available to us today. And I will hand it over. Am I handing it over to staff or am I going straight to Mr. McLaren?
You're handing it over to staff.
All righty.
Thank you, Chair Brown.
Hi, sorry, Riley, I didn't see you on my screen. All right.
That's all right. Thank you, Chair Brown. Thank you, Commissioners, and we appreciate that you worked with us to get this item moved ahead so that we can get the valuable information from our consultant. And with that in mind, I'll jump into the presentation. I'm going to share my screen and want to make sure I'm sharing the right item here. We will share this one. And can you guys see the full screen of the presentation?
We can.
Okay, great, fantastic. So today we're here to provide the commission and the community with a update on the zero emission passenger rail and trail project. We are holding a, it's recommended that the commission hold a public hearing on the initial conceptual alignment and analysis of conceptual rail transit vehicle types. And I wanted to point out what we're doing today in holding a, recommending holding a public hearing is to one, kick off the engagement period for milestone two of this project, which is the initial conceptual alignment and the analysis of the conceptual rail transit vehicle types. We do have live today, which I'll get into later with support of HDR staff, is the online virtual open house, which has the conceptual alignment available for public review and comment that went live today. So that has not been available yet for the public to review, but we did have the conceptual rail transit vehicle types analysis in the staff report, which you have, and we will be presenting on the conceptual alignment as well. So I'll go to the next slide here. So just a brief refresher, the zero emission passenger rail and trail project is proposing adding passenger rail service on 22 miles of the Santa Cruz branch rail line from Paparo to Westside Santa Cruz, and also to add 12 new miles of coastal rail trail, being segments 13 through 20 from the Rio del Mar area to Paparo, as well as segment two, segment 11, which is the Capitola Trestle Reach. And as a reminder of the project schedule, we are in the project concept report. So the first task, the first phase of this project, we kicked it off in November of 2023, and we're about a third of the way through. We're aiming to have the project concept report finished up in early 2025. And the schedule for the remainder of the project is on the screen here. The project concept report could lead into the environmental documentation phase, with project approval being potentially in late 2027 or in 2028. And here's a summary of recent commission actions. In November, we held a public hearing and heard the project's preliminary purpose and need. And then we had a milestone one community outreach on the preliminary purpose and need, and brought that back to the commission, a summary of the response from the community engagement. In April, the commission adopted loading guidelines for railroad bridges, repairs, and for replacements. And then in May, your commission adopted typical design cross sections for the project, and also adopted recommended horizontal setback guidelines from the branch rail line right away for new structures. And as I mentioned earlier today, we're kicking off milestone two, the initial conceptual alignment analysis of conceptual rail transit vehicle types. And with that, I will kick it over to Mark to bring us into the technical parts of the presentation.
Great, thank you, Riley. So as we move into this next phase of opportunity for public comment and conversation about this project, A couple of the things that are really key to our discussion as we continue to refine and define this project are not only the alignment of the rail line as it relates to its relationship to the existing right-of-way and the trail program, but also the type of vehicle that would be used for service within this corridor to meet a passenger need. And so at this time, for this conversation, we have three main types of vehicles that we have identified that we're focused on in terms of conversation. First of all, looking at traditional locomotive hauled passenger cars, which give us flexibility in terms of the length of a train or the capacity of it, in terms of what we add to it to provide greater capacity. We're also looking at what we call in the industry multiple units, which is basically a train with a cab at either end, and the length of the train is defined by the type of ridership that it needs to accommodate and can be made a length specific to that need. And the third is traditional light rail vehicle with electrification, principally overhead catenary, to provide the service along that line. We're looking at these and looking for feedback on these vehicle types because each of them offers up unique opportunities as well as challenges in terms of meeting the needs for the service. So for example, the passenger locomotive hauled passenger cars or the multiple unit give us the ability to have interoperability in a freight corridor. And that's not just the Santa Cruz branch line, but that's also within the Union Pacific line. So that if in the future you wanted to extend service beyond Watsonville, you'd have the opportunity to give someone a one-seat ride to another destination, such as Gilroy, to connect to high-speed rail and other services in that region. On the other hand, a traditional light rail vehicle is something that is not interoperable with freight on a regular basis in a corridor like that, and also presents some challenges as it relates to overhead catenary when we think about the things that have occurred the last couple of years, particularly with storms associated with wind damage and that, and what that would mean to an overhead system that would have to be repaired and or replaced after an event such as that. So these are the three types of technologies that we're looking at for this conversation. At this time, the three that we're looking at specifically are all three that have experience and have gone through the process of certification with the California Public Utility Commission, which is important for the safe operation of the system. But again, the real difference is what they can each offer in terms of interoperability with freight and connection to a larger system in the future. From that, then, as I mentioned, the other thing that's important that we're going to be talking about in this round of meetings is the initial conceptual alignment. And if I could ask to go to the next slide, thank you. Had to forget I wasn't the one driving the slides. So in the upcoming meetings that we're going to be holding, we're going to be talking about the corridor and the work that we've done so far to look at the alignment and offer the public the opportunity to provide input and identify areas of concerns or questions that they have as it relates to that alignment along the length of the line. As we've discussed with you previously, our primary objective is to look at fitting the railroad within the existing right-of-way, where we have the ability to accommodate both the rail project and the trail project within that line, but also looking at how we optimize the operation of the system as it relates to places where we can provide siding tracks and other things so that trains can pass each other as they make that trip back and forth between the east end and the west end of the line. And that's important because the more efficient we can make the operation of the system from one end to the other, it reduces the operations cost and also the cost associated with train sets in order to meet the requirements or the conversation of the state rail plan for ultimately having service every 30 minutes between each end of the line. We have at this point gone through and done a first pass. Next slide, please. Okay, we've at this point done a first pass to look at developing the conceptual alignment within the right-of-way, again, with the intent to fit within the existing right-of-way. There are some places where we've identified challenges, and we're looking at a number of conceptual solutions to address those constraints. And those constraints range from things related to areas where we have narrower right-of-way along the corridor, and or we have constraints as it relates to existing structures or just the alignment of the railroad within the right-of-way, that we need to figure out ways to accommodate, again, with the intent of optimizing both. And as we do that, one of the options that we've also looked at as we develop conceptual solution is, are there places where, for example, the trail might leave the railroad right-of-way and follow a different path to allow the railroad to be passenger service within that right-of-way, but still obtaining the or attaining the objectives of both of the projects. And again, these are the types of things that we're going to have available for the community to address and discuss in the public meetings that will be coming up at the end of the month, in addition to the online open house, which is beginning as well. Next slide. So what you see on your screen right now is actually an interactive map that's a part of the open virtual open house, which actually went live earlier today. There's a series of these maps that show the conceptual alignment of the rail and trail that you can zoom in on along the length of the corridor, segment by segment. And from the drop-down screen that you see there with the various pins, you can identify areas where you have questions, comments that you'd like to post as it relates to those, drop a pin, provide a comment. And at the end of this process, then, we have a full record for public conversation of the issues and the questions that were raised as a part of this opportunity to comment on the project. So that's really one of the key things about or the benefits of the virtual process is that people will have the ability to then go look at these maps, provide their comment, and they will become a part of the project record. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Riley to talk about community engagement. Riley?
Thank you very much, Mark. We have community engagement for milestone two, as I mentioned before, which is this initial conceptual alignment and the analysis of rail vehicle types. We're kicking that off today with this public hearing and presentation. We have Tiffany from HGR Engineering also online, who will be able to provide us a little bit more information as to the other engagement opportunities that the community and stakeholders and our partners have. So, Tiffany. Yeah.
Thank you, Riley. And if you want to click to the next slide, I think Riley and Mark have both already done a great job of speaking to this. But really, today is just kicking off our community engagement for this milestone two of this project. We are seeking community feedback both today and throughout June and for the next month and a half about. We're asking for everyone to give comments either in person, by email, or on our virtual open house by July 18th. And as you can see here on this slide, the key outreach that we're focusing on is we have launched this virtual open house. It is on Zepert, which is Zepert.com. The virtual open house has some interactive features, like Mark spoke to, that you can comment directly onto that alignment map. We also have that pros and cons list for the different rail vehicle types, and have some specific questions. You can provide feedback on community preferences for those different options. And then additionally, similarly, we'll be doing two in-person open houses on June 24th and 25th in Watsonville and Santa Cruz, respectively. We'll be sharing a lot of the same information as on the virtual open house, with the benefit that we'll have staff, both from RTC staff and our HDR team, who can answer questions and walk folks through the alignment. And we'll be seeking feedback there as well. In addition to those open house options, we are continuing to meet with our partner agencies, providing briefings, speaking at city council meetings throughout the next month and a half or so. And RTC staff will also be out at several community events over the next couple of weeks, both promoting these virtual open houses as well as seeking feedback directly. And with that, I think I'll turn it back over to Riley.
All right. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Thank you, Mark, for that. I'm going to briefly wrap up with some of the next steps. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, we are in the initial task of the zero emission passenger rail and trail project. We are about a third of the way through, as shown on the graphic here. We're entering into the summer milestone 2 engagement period. Next up will be the milestone 3 engagement period. And as Mark mentioned during his portion of the presentation, that over this coming months in the summertime and into early fall, before bringing back the information to the community and the commission, we'll be working on some technical modeling and analyses of the different operations of the different vehicles that could operate on the service, as well as looking at our ridership, doing updated ridership numbers, doing some sensitivity analyses to station locations, for instance, where riders could get onto the service, making so we can have a more informed decision about where those ridership centers are to provide service to those locations. So that will inform things like the passengers or the passing sightings, the station locations, so that we can have an operation that meets our headway expectations. So we'll come over the summer, we'll be looking at the input that's received from this milestone 2 period, as well as the modeling and analyses that we'll be doing over the coming months, and then coming back to the commission and to the community with milestone 3, the refined conceptual alignment and the station and labor facilities and maintenance facility conceptual locations. So looking forward to that. And then in the winter, we'll be coming with the draft project concept report and the preliminary cost estimates, and then wrapping up the project in spring of 2025. And I want to be able to save as much time that we have with the consultants to take questions. So I'll move on to that. And that ends our